Hello and welcome to the Mother Earth News Online Homesteading Summit. This is Marjorie Wildcraft, your host. Have you ever walked across a field and run into a thistle and you went, ouch! And you're like, ah! You know, what is that plant good for? Well, I tell you what, after this presentation, you're going to go across that field looking for those thistles and saying, hey, friend, Katrina Blair is going to be our presenter, and she is the founder of Turtle Lake Refuge, which she started in 1998. It's a nonprofit organization whose mission is to celebrate the connections between personal health and wild lands. She has taught sustainable living practices through the John F. Kennedy University, San Juan College in Farmington, New Mexico, and Fort Lewis College in Durango, Colorado. She teaches internationally at retreats, festivals, and educational and healing events. And I've actually helped her organize a wild edible workshop here in Central Texas. It was fabulous. She's also the author of The Wild Wisdom of Weeds, 13 Essential Plants for Human Survival, as well as Local Wildlife, The Turtle Lake Refuge's Recipes for Living Deep. So let's get started here. This is just a ton of great information on how to use thistles.
Hello, my name is Katrina Blair, and I will be giving a presentation on the 7 ways to prepare thistle. So thistle is a plant that grows all over the world, and truly it grows on every continent of planet Earth other than Antarctica, which there's at this current moment there's only 4 flowering plant species there yet, so it's mostly ice, probably 99% ice. But on every other continent where humans live full-time, there are thistles that grow around the human civilizations and the towns and the cities. And it's an incredible relationship between humans and thistles because thistles' niche is to grow in disturbed or compact soils. That's their ideal location to thrive. And humans are the best disturbers and compactors of soil that I've ever witnessed. And so there's this symbiotic relationship that gets created between the thistle and the humans. And what's amazing is that thistles not only are incredible food and medicine for humanity, but they also help regenerate the soils into greater fertility. The first thistle I want to talk about is the musk thistle, Cardus nutans. This thistle is a biannual plant, so the first year after it plants its seed, it grows into a rosette of green leaves that end up being very big and beautiful. Prickly, of course, but luscious and green. And then after it grows the green leaves for one whole season, the next season it shoots up into a stalk and flowers, reseeds, and dies. So it lives for 2 years and then dies and reseeds itself. It reseeds itself pretty well, so it tends to know how to survive, even though it dies after 2 years. The second thistle that I commonly use is Canadian thistle, Cercis arvense. And this thistle is a perennial plant, and that means that once it gets established, it grows year after year after year and continues to send rootstocks down low in runners, and then it shoots up new shoots of thistle. And these thistle roots are very delicious long-term and any time of the year, where the first thistle that I spoke about, the musk thistle, the roots are best harvested after the first season or right before the second season when all the good energy and nutrition is still in the roots, where with the Canadian thistle, because it's a perennial and grows year-round, and continues to come back in the same place and new places, those roots stay tender throughout the season, spring, summer, and fall, and winter. The thistle greens make a fantastic green juice. And you might look at this thistle plant, this is a musk thistle, and say, oh, those are very prickly. And that's true, they are very prickly. However, on the very back rib of the leaf, there are no spines or no prickles. And so if you are barehanded, that's the perfect way to harvest them. You can reach back behind each leaf and grab the back spine and pick it that way. And then what I do is I take these green leaves and I put them in a blender, add lemon and apple, blend it up, and when I strain it, all the prickles and the fibers get strained away. And so you've got this incredibly clear juice that is actually quite tasty. Some wild plants, such as dandelion, have a bitter flavor, where thistle tends to be incredibly mild flavor. And I really love the flavors of thistle. I grew up drinking green juice thanks to my mom's life experience. She developed arthritis before I was even born when she was 17 and went through 12 years of medical traditions of a lot of surgeries and lots of different drugs. In fact, over 95,000 different pills and the side effects and all of that. And then when I was 2 years old, she was inspired to do a juice fast. And after 4 days of juicing, her chronic pain disappeared, and she was incredibly blown away by what had she been missing this whole time. So she went on to study more and got a degree in holistic nutrition and found that green juice was the best pain medication and decongestion of joints that she's ever found. So I grew up drinking a green juice before breakfast and before dinner my entire life. We would have a green juice about 20 minutes before breakfast, and then again 20 minutes before dinner, so that we would not dilute our digestive juices and still enjoy a nice meal later. And this green juice actually prevented me from even getting sick when I was a kid. Green juice is so powerful because it's very alkaline, and in this juice we have the minerals from the wild plants, we have the chlorophyll directly from the sun, which oxygenates the blood, and then we have all the enzymes right from the living plant. And this is a powerhouse of nutrition. The simple recipe that I want to give you today is just a cup of thistle greens, one lemon, I usually peel it and then put the whole thing in, one apple, 3 cups of good water. And you can blend all of these ingredients together and strain out the pulp. And it's a very alkalinizing recipe. When our bodies are alkaline, we avoid a lot of pain and stress and sickness. When our bodies get too acidic, that's usually what indicates a lot of problems, either from a common cold all the way to cancer. It's usually rooted in the acidity of the body chemistry. And the earth is providing us with an incredible medicine in the form of thistles or any of the wild greens, such as dandelion or mallow or even garden greens like spinach or parsley or kale. All of these are very alkaline and support the body's health in a real natural regenerative way. Here's a picture of our bicycle blender, which has seen thousands of kids performing this miraculous juice-creating exercise. And so these are the thistle greens blended with some apples and lemon and water. And when we strain it out, it's a dilute green juice that's very tasty. There's another way to make thistle juice, and that is using a juicer. And when you make thistle juice with a juicer, or any kind of juice, it ends up coming out very concentrated because there's no water added. And one day when I was writing my recent book, which is The Wild Wisdom of Weeds, I was out in the garden, and a tall thistle, a huge musk thistle that was taller than I was looming over me, and I heard, "Juice me," from the thistle plant. I think that's what it said. And I brought it home and I put it through this juicer, and it came out as this concentrated shot, kind of like a wheatgrass shot. And I ended up drinking the entire thing in one sitting. And this juice was so concentrated that within moments, it had me laying on the ground, and it told me I've been breathing wrong my whole life, and it was going to show me how to breathe correctly. And I found myself laying on the ground for about an hour trying to understand and embody what this thistle was communicating to me. And what it ended up saying, ultimately, what I ended up learning from it, is that when I breathe the way I had been breathing, it was very shallow and a little bit unmindful. And yet, the way the thistle takes in energy or breathes is it's rooting from the earth and reaching from the sky. So simultaneously drawing up the energy of the earth and down from the sky, opening in this spiraling action, this opposite and opening spiraling action that fills up every cell on the inhale. And then on the exhale, the The spirals reverse and all the energy goes back down and back up. And in that moment, I feel connected to everything else. And then on the inhale, it all gets drawn back up into the center. And I'm the center of the universe in that moment. Every cell is being filled up by this earth and sky energy. And then on the exhale, it all gets released and I'm part of everything else again. And so I celebrate this thistle breath now on a daily basis, because when I do bring my mind and awareness to breathing in such a full connected way, I get so much more energy. And I want to take just a moment to speak about how it's so important that we listen to our own intuition in this journey of integrating wild foods into our life and into our diet. It's really important that even though I might say, yes, thistle's delicious, I eat it all the time, you're the most important and wise body according with your body. And so don't believe a word I say. Use your own intuition first. Always believe in yourself and what your experience is. And if your tongue says, oh, I don't like the thistle, totally trust it and spit it out. And there's so many reasons why we need to be really giving our body that mindful attention so that we don't get ourselves into trouble. I was listening to my body at that time when I decided to juice the thistle stalk, and I was actually on a journey. I was writing the Wild Wisdom of Weeds book at the time, and I decided only to eat those 13 weeds for a period of time. It ended up being a 16-day journey, and that was when I got inspired to juice the thistle. I did, however, felt a little bit nauseous after I drank that concentrated juice. So I just, again, remind us all to really trust in the wisdom of our own bodies to guide us. So the thistle stalks make an incredible celery in addition to a green juice. And what I do is I peel back all the old stalks, the prickles and the stalk and the older fibers. And then inside is a tender, juicy substance that's a lot like celery. So thistle stalk celery is a delicacy, and you can harvest the thistle stalk before it flowers. So the bud is already forming, but the flower hasn't opened yet. And I often use a knife to peel the leaves and the prickles off, or carefully with my hands if I don't have a knife. And then once it's peeled, I just eat it just like a piece of celery. And if it's too fibery, I keep peeling until I get to the inner tender part. So once the flower stalk shoots up, it turns into the flower bud and then opens. And as we can see, the flower of the thistle is very sweet. Lots of creatures like to eat them, from the deer to the insects and the bees, and including me, and probably you also, if you try it. And what I like to do is take a pinch of that flower and pull it out when I'm out in the garden, and then I put that into my mouth like chewing gum. So once I take a pinch out, you'll see that it's got the nectar, which is the purple part, on the top, and then the fluff down below. And I put that whole little piece right into my mouth. And when I chew, I have to get past the fluff for just a second, but then very quickly, the sweetness of the nectar starts to come out. And then it continues as I chew, it continues to form this gum, a sweet, lightly sweet gum that just you can chew and chew and all day long. And the fun thing is that it cleans your teeth at the same time as you're out in the garden and enjoying thistle nectar. So the thistle flower chewing gum is simply harvest the purple flower when it's fully in bloom. Use your fingers to pull a little bit of it out, and it comes out white and purple, and chew the whole amount. And then the purple part has the nectar, and the white part is the fibrous, which creates the chewing gum experience. And it's a beautiful thing to do while you're out enjoying nature. So the thistle seeds are invaluable. And again, there's that white fluff which allows the thistle to fly and replant itself. But connected to the end of the thistle fluff is the thistle seed. And that's where an incredible amount of nutrition lies, in the seed. Thistle seeds are packed with nutrition, lots of potassium and calcium. And the reason why the wild plants and the thistle has so much nutrient in the plant is because it has a deep taproot that draws up those minerals that we might not see in a lot of our annual vegetables that we buy from the supermarket. When a plant is that connected and wild, it has really established It's evolved with the land to know how to thrive and ends up drawing a whole rainbow of trace minerals into the plant. So you're getting such a larger scale of diversity of minerals within the body when we ingest these seeds, these flowers, the stalks, the leaves, the roots, all of it. So thistle seed milk is a fantastic recipe where you can take a half a cup of thistle seeds and I mix it with sunflower seeds or almonds, and I'll blend it up in the blender with a little honey and vanilla and water. Blend it up real thoroughly, and then I'll strain out the pulp, and it makes a delicious, wild, and nutritious milk. And you can use it really for anything you use milk for, and you're benefiting from this wisdom, this wild wisdom and integral mineral plant, the thistle. Thistle milk is delicious by itself. You can drink it with other things, make it with smoothies. But what's so special about ingesting our wild plants is that we're getting that wisdom right into our bodies. We really are what we eat. And when we ingest the wild plants that grow around us, that have figured out through evolution how to survive so well, it reminds our very own bodies how to survive and thrive in this changing climate. And so that plant intelligence becomes us when we ingest it. And it also brings us deeper into relationship with the land and our sense of place when we're eating foods right where we live. The seeds can also be made into bread. And so here's a recipe for the thistle seed bread. And you'll take some thistle seeds, and then I usually mix it with another kind of grain, such as oats or buckwheat groats. And I'll grind those ingredients in the blender dry until it makes a flour. And once I have my homemade flour, then I can add the honey and the coconut oil and salt and knead it into the dough consistency that I want. And then I'll shape it into little flatbreads and then bake it either at a low temperature or I'll dehydrate it in the sun or in dehydrators until it's the perfect consistency and texture that I like. A little bit crispy on the outside and still soft and good and chewy on the inside. The thistle seed bread is a really fun way to enjoy the seeds, and you can slice this bread and use it for sandwiches or for additions to breakfasts or dinner or a snack. Travels well. And when we're eating the wild thistle plant, it really brings our own intuition alive. I find that when I'm nibbling on food along my way throughout my day, I get really inspired to be an incredible caretaker of the earth. That inspiration of the plants, life and this wisdom of this plant goes right in, and it inspires me to know more about it and start to observe it more and what insects are utilizing it and what little ecosystems these wild plants have. And that makes me fall in love with the earth that much more and inspires me to be the best caretaker I possibly can. So we're going to go into the roots. Now the roots, this is the Canadian thistle roots. But these roots are really well established in our earth. And what's cool about a perennial root, such as the Canadian thistle, is that year after year, this plant gets more and more connected with the ecosystem underground. And so we'll find that because of these root systems that create networking relationships with the mycelium, that's the underground mushroom networking, it's kind of like mushroom roots. It has relationships with the earthworms and all these microorganisms, and they all, there is a whole community to bring more nourishment to the plants. So these roots are really packed with nutrition. I like to dry my roots sometimes so that I can store them through the winter. And so I'll wash the roots, dry them, and cut them in pieces. Before I dry them, I like to cut them in pieces so they'll dry easier and quicker. And then once they're dry, they can store, and you can use these thistle roots throughout the whole year. The thistle root's really powerful. It regenerates liver cells. And so living in the 21st century, we all need as much support for our liver as possible because we're all exposed to all kinds of toxins and sometimes preservatives, and sometimes overprocessed foods or stresses. And when we have a healthy liver that's being regenerated by the thistle, we end up being able to manage these toxins much more efficiently, and they don't set us back as much as they would without it. The thistle root, once you have it dried, you can grind it into a fine powder and then use it as a tea. And it's pretty fun. You can just add it to a cup or a gourd in this case and add your hot water, and you've got this amazing, delicious beverage for your morning ritual. And this ritual can support your health in so many ways. So thistle tea is a really beautiful morning tradition that wakes us up, it gives us energy, it releases any toxins that we might have like stored over in the evening, and brings us connected to our beautiful place where we live. Another way to prepare thistle root is making a chai tea. And that is very similar by just taking the dried thistle roots, but then I add cashews, a little honey, vanilla, a hunk of ginger, and some chai spices, including pepper and clove. And I'll blend the whole thing, all the ingredients, and strain it out. And this can be enjoyed on ice, or it can be warmed up and enjoyed hot. And it's a very warming and delicious spicy beverage. The thistle root chai tea has become one of the favorite items at the Durango Farmers Market here where I live. We serve this every Saturday at our farmers market booth, and it sells out. It's become one of the biggest hits at the market, and it's fun to be feeding people thistle, on our community thistle, because the more of us that eat wild plants, the more we all become better caretakers of the earth. And once you bring thistle into your body, you can no longer have a distasteful relationship to the thistle. You, in fact, start to love it, because this thistle ends up being a teacher from the inside out. Once we ingest it, it starts opening up our body and communicating the very essence of the thistle. And so even though it is on the noxious weed lists of many states, if not all of the states of the United States, but once we ingest it, it becomes our ally and it's working for us. And we start to remember how important it is for our own health and survival. So thistles can be definitely a food and a medicine, but they can also be made into a gourmet delicacy, such as a wild weed chocolate truffle. And I'll be sharing this recipe with you all. It's something that we make at Turtle Lake Refuge, our nonprofit in Durango, Colorado. And we use all different kinds of weeds in addition to thistle. We'll use amaranth and dandelion and lamb's quarter and plantain and mallow. So we make a different flavor to highlight each of the different weeds. And it's exciting to have all of us, as our human community grows into more of a wild eating human community, when we start to ingest these wild plants, they're no longer weeds to us. They're valuable foods and medicines. And that opens up a whole realm, a whole supermarket right outside our back door. The thistleweed chocolate truffles are made using half raw carob and half raw cacao. I like to mix the two together because cacao is really rich in potassium, where carob is really rich in calcium, and together they balance the body and give a lot of nutrients that way. And we use honey, a little coconut butter, we use some cashews, and the dried thistle root powder, along with chai spices. And we mix them all together and shape into these little truffle balls and roll them in coconut. And they'll store well in the fridge. And they'll last a long time unless you eat them all, which I recommend because of the cacao, just eating a little bit at a time. It gives you a lot of energy. Sharing wild foods with your community is such a valuable practice, no matter where you live. And I mentioned that we like to share wild food treats at our local farmers market. So we'll use the thistle chai, we'll use the roots and culture them into sauerkrauts, we'll make all kinds of dandelion pestos, and really utilizing the wild abundance makes us all feel so much richer than we would otherwise. Because when we see all this abundance growing around us for free and we have access to it, we realize how truly blessed we are as a human community. At Turtle Lake Refuge, we also have a wild food cafe, and that's another way to get these wild, abundant foods into our community. When we bring this wild abundance in not only our own bodies, but our community's bodies, we become stronger as a collective whole. And I feel as humans, that's really one of our greatest resources, is each other. And so we serve this wild food lunch twice a week, that includes thistle as one of its ingredients often, as well as a lot of other wild plants. And we also integrate these wild thistle plants into our community through the Wild Food CSA, which is often called Community Supported Agriculture Project. However, we call it the Wild Food Community Supported Abundance Project. And we'll use thistle roots in sauerkrauts and kimchis and thistle green juices and certainly the chai and dried powders and spices that people will utilize throughout the season. We make a dried superfood powder with a lot of these dried greens. And if you use thistle to make a superfood powder, it's a smart idea to grind it really, really fine to make sure all the prickles break down well. Otherwise, strain it before you ingest it. But it still ends up being a very nutritious wild green powder. So as we've learned that the wild thistle can be used as incredible food recipes and medicines, and we also are going to learn about how not only does it regenerate the cells in our own body and our liver cells and our own health through its enzymes, its chlorophyll, and its mineral content, but how thistles regenerate the earth as pioneer permaculture plants. Unfortunately, this slide is way too common here in the United States and probably in many countries across the globe as well, where lawns and gardens and public spaces, including preschools and schools, are being sprayed with herbicides. It's a weed and feed, often with 2,4-D, sometimes Roundup. And it's a very unfortunate situation because it's very toxic for kids, pets, animals, bees, soil microorganisms, worms, the water, the air, everything. It's a real disadvantage to our environment. And ideally, we want to communicate that these wild plants that are being sprayed, trying to be eradicated, are so valuable for our food and our medicine and our community that more often, I would like to see signs that go up that say no spray, and communities that create organic parks and public spaces for children and all of us to live on and play on. As many of us already know, it's our wild pollinators and the honeybees that are an essential ingredient to our food system being secure. These guys are the ones that pollinate the food and bring about the harvest of a lot of the food that we ingest on a regular basis. And anything as a human population that we can do to protect these wild insects and these honey-producing insects, the more the better. Turtle Lake Refuge has a project called Be Happy Lands, where we help landowners manage their lands of the wild weeds, such as thistle. So we will go to an area and hand manually dig the thistles out and then sprinkle native grass seeds, compost, and mulch, as well as a homeodynamic weed remedy that we make onto the land. And we're finding it's very successful, and we've been hired by the town of Telluride to manage 560 acres and a large sporting club of 600 acres in addition to homeowners with smaller areas of land. And we're finding that by having minimal impact, by doing it all manually in a small, isolated way, plus adding the seeds, we're helping the land regenerate and find more stability. And as we know, thistles are pioneer plants, and they're going to come in when there's disturbance and compaction. And if we minimize the disturbance and add fertility and add additional seeds, we're going to help the land evolve into the next succession plants, thereby reducing the emissions of some of the plants that are currently on the noxious weed lists that it's mandated that landowners get rid of or they can get a fine. Thistle stock micro-remediation is a project where we take the thistle stocks that we've removed from landowners, and we'll end up with bags and bags of these thistle heads and these seed stocks. And so we'll put them into water, fill them up in a bucket with water, and let them sit for about a week. And what this does is it ferments them so that the seeds no longer sprout, and they basically get quite ripe. And we take them out and dry them. Once they're on screens, we dry them just a little bit so that much of the water has been drained, but they're still damp. And that's a perfect substrate or medium to grow mushrooms on. Oyster mushrooms are one of the ideal mushrooms for cleaning up petrochemicals, such as herbicides. And it's a great mushroom to grow because it can grow on a lot of different substrates. It'll grow on straw or wood chips or thistle stalks. So we mix in this oyster mushroom mycelium, which is basically the root networking of the oyster mushroom, with our thistle stalks in buckets. We then put it into a 55-gallon drum and put weight on it where we let it grow. And once it's grown to a good amount, where it turns white and gets very well established in the substrate of our thistle stalks, we put it down on the earth. And I have a place on my land that's right next to where herbicides are stored. And so we've dug a trench and we laid down a bunch of wood. And this is oak brush, which is a great additional food for the mushrooms. So we'll lay down the oak brush and then we add the thistle substrate and oyster mushrooms on top. And once it's all filled in the trench, we'll add more mulch, and that ends up keeping it moisture rich so it stays wet, and that's an ideal condition for growing the mushrooms. And it's pretty powerful. These oyster mushrooms actually help break down petrochemicals that we have in our environment. I wouldn't recommend eating these mushrooms after they break it down, but they basically help make those chemicals more inert and protect our environment. So I'd like to conclude with honoring our thistle plants for so many reasons. They're incredible food, they're incredible medicines, and they make an amazing remediation for the earth. And even just their existence in beautiful flowers, here's an example of some wild bees using these thistle stalks as an umbrella during a very rainy day. So we give thanks to our brilliant thistles who protect us and remind us of our own clear boundaries, as well as give us optimal health and many blessings for generations to come. Thank you.
All right, well, that was Katrina Blair. You know, right after I saw this presentation for the first time, I ran outside and got some thistles and made that green juice with an apple and lemon and put it up in the blender. It was yummy. Oh my gosh, that's really, really a tasty drink. So there, and I'm looking forward to some of those flowers and trying that thistle chewing gum. Let me know if you got any. I want to try it. Let me know your comments. If you want to get in touch with Katrina and pick up a copy of her book, 13 Weeds, The Wisdom of 13 Wild Weeds, so you'll feel super empowered after that. You know, really understanding that you've got food sources and medicine all around you. It's quite empowering. Those weeds are universal to pretty much most of the planet. So it's going to be applicable to wherever you live. Click on the button to the right, and that'll get you in touch with Katrina. She also has a lot of other wealth of information on her website, and I highly recommend checking that out. Well, this is Marjorie Wildcraft, and you're attending the Mother Earth News Online Homesteading Summit. And, you know, we've got a bunch of other really great ones. So let's get together for another one soon, okay? I'll see you at the next one.